Sorry, since today's Rosh Chodesh, I thought I would do some dinim that relate to Rosh Chodesh. This is from the Sefer Nefesh HaRav by Rav Herschel Schefter, which brings down the Shito from Rav Soloveitchik. So one thing he has about the bracha that we recite before Hallel, so the common minag is that we hear the Tzibur say the bracha, and then we say Amen and go forward. But the Rav had a different Shito with this. Let me get into it slowly. He mentions first on the night of Yom Kippur, so it's brought down that when the Shliach Tzibur says Kol Nidre, afterwards the Shliach Tzibur says Shefianu. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down in the name of Achronim that the Tzibur should also say Shefianu quietly. So when the Shliach Tzibur is saying Shefianu, everybody should also be reciting Shefianu. And then he says that they should, you know, try to complete it before the Shliach Tzibur, so they'll answer Amen to the Shliach Tzibur. That's what the Mishnah Berurah brings down. So the Rav added on to that, he says that the minhag is to say balachash and not to wait. Why can't they say Shefianu later? Why do we have to say with the Shliach Tzibur at all? Why can't we wait for the Shliach Tzibur to say Shefianu? We'll say Amen, and then we'll say Shefianu after the Shliach Tzibur. So Rav felt it's a chashash based on the Rambam that you might be yotzei the bracha if you say Amen to the bracha of the Shliach Tzibur. So we'll see in a minute. Rambam says as follows, this is in Hilchot Brachot, Perek Aleph. Kol Shmei Bracha Mne Brachot Mne Tila Tavi Atzofa, if you hear a bracha from the beginning to the end, then if Kavei Latzeit by Yidei Chobato, Yatsa, Yafa Pishlo and Amen. That if I hear a bracha from beginning to end, and I have Kavanah to be Yotzei, I'm Yotzei, even if I don't say Amen. Then the Rambam says, Befola Ona Amen Afar Mevarech Hareza Kimevarech. Whoever says Amen after the Shliach Tzibur, he's like a Mevarech himself. He's like reciting the bracha. So what is it that the Rambam is getting at when they're answering Amen? In other words, he said already that you yotzei even if you don't say Amen. So what is he saying if you say Amen? So the simple pshat is that it sounds like you yotzei even if you didn't have... In other words, the first way is, if you had Kavanah to be yotzei, then you yotzei even if you don't say Amen. The second line is saying, if you say Amen, even if you didn't have Kavanah to be Yotzei, you're Yotzei. That's the Thora, what he's saying. So it would come out from the Rambam that if I say Amen, even if I don't specifically have Kavanah to be Yotzei the Bracha, I'm Yotzei the Bracha. So now he brings down, the Shuvas the Rambam was asked about this and he rejected it, but there's clearly a sheet that we've shown him that does hold that way. So it means like this, there's like three Kavanahs, Kavanah to be Yotzei, Kavanah not to be Yotzei, and Stam Kavanah. So in order to be Yotzei without answering Amen, I have to have Kavanah to be Yotzei. If I do say Amen, there are shitos that hold I'm Yotzei, even if I don't have a specific Kavanah that I want to be Yotzei the Bracha. So again, with Shechianu on Leil Yom Kippur, so if the Shliach Tzibur says Shechianu, and I Stam say Amen, then there are shitos to hold that I'm Yotzei Shechianu, I can't say the Bracha anymore. So I want to say Shechianu beforehand. So now, let's bring it down to Hallel. So now by Hallel, the Shliach Tzibur says his bracha, and people say Amen. So now it runs into that same problem, right? In other words, if the Shliach Tzibur says the bracha on Hallel, and we say Amen, and we don't have Kavanah not to be Yotzei the bracha, so now according to a whole bunch of Rishonim, I'm Yotzei the bracha. And when I make the new bracha, then we said when you say Amen, it's like you said the bracha yourself. And now when I make the new bracha, I'm making a bracha levatala. So the Rav held that a person should recite the bracha for Hallel quietly with the Shliach Tzibur. And he says the Olam is not medaktik on this, but that's the sheet of the Rav with that. All right, let me do one other piece, and then we'll see how we do time-wise. Now, there's another hakpada that comes up. Now, we take off our tefillin before Musa. And on Chol HaMoed, and that's now the major hakpada for taking off the tefillin before Musaf, which the Ramah brings down, excuse me, is at the end of Siman Papay. He says, that the only time, according to the Ramah, that you have to take tefillin off before Musaf, on Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, again, he's telling you about the Minhag among the Arab Ashkenazim historically, to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So if you're wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed, or it's Rosh Chodesh, and they're saying Kedushat Keter. Keter is, you know, in Nusach Sfard, is Keter Yidnu Lecham Malachai Hashem. It's a very more flowery Kedusha. And we're saying that the Malachim should give you a touch bark with the Keter. It was you would have the Keter Malchut. That's for you. So he says, under those circumstances, a person should take off his tefillin. Then the Ramah says, nevertheless, the minag is generally to remove it regardless. So even if you're saying dusha, like we say in the Kadesh, the minag is to take the tefillin off before Musa. And then the Mishnah Berurah says that it's not right to wear the tefillin, he says, because tefillin is also a keter. So in other words, we're saying, you Hashem have the keter, and we're all wearing a keter. It's like soter. So he says, but he says that if he forgot and he davened with them, so he doesn't take the tefillin off in the middle of the musaf. It's just a minag. And then the Taz says, if a person is a minag not to take it off from musaf, there's no tainus against him, because we don't say kedushas keter. We don't say kedushas keter. And he says, Shamati al gadol hador echad shlo yacholtzim b'musaf. He says, Mishmur says, I heard about one gadol, and he didn't take the tefillin off from musaf. So here, the Rav Shasha brings down the name of the Rav. He says that if a person is davening Nusaf Ashkenaz, he says, and he's going to take the tefillin for musaf, he's going to be mitbata from Tzibur b'Tzibur. Meaning, let's say the Tzibur is racing ahead of him. And if he's going to take time to take off the tefillin, he won't be able to daven the balakas with the tzibur. So the choice is, he could stop and take the tefillin off and wind it and then daven, but it won't really be tefillah but tzibur because they raced ahead of him. Or he could daven ahead and then he'll wear the tefillin. So the Rav felt that you should rely on the Taz that we just did and daven musaf with the tefillin. That's what the Taz said. If people, like, you don't have any tainus against somebody in the place where we're saying our kedusha, there's no tainus against somebody who would daven with the tefillin. And then he says, it's a genai gadol hulaniyach haritzur kakal b'timikurachot. He says it's a tremendous, like, disgrace to leave tefillin unwound. In other words, to just leave the tefillin on the table with ritzuot, you know, all display, he says that's a big genai. He says, and if he doesn't have time to wind the tefillin properly and do tefillah b'tzibur, he says better in that case as well. So in other words, let's say he'd have enough time to take off the tefillin, but he won't have enough time to wind the tefillin. So the Rav felt, you know what, leave the tefillin on, daven with the tzibur, with the musaf, with the tefillin, and then he'll take the tefillin off later and wind it properly later. All right, let me see how we're doing. Okay, I think that's it. Any questions, comments, and thoughts? Okay, Rabbi Kananda ben Feshmeres Bach, Sel Tiyachal Kerbon, Sel Chemar, and Nafis Ol Yilkov Yadir.